Podcasting 2.0 for May 28th, 2021, episode 39, License to Kill. Woo! I love my Fridays. I'm sure all of you do. Not just because it's Friday and we got the weekend coming up, but it is time once again for the weekly board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Everything going on at podcastindex.org and the Mastodon at podcastindex.social. Hello, everybody. I'm Adam Curry here in Austin, Texas, and in Alabama, the man who closes GitHub issues faster than any human being, my friend on the other end, Dave Jones.
Yo, dog, what's up?
Hey, yo, dog.
This is the weirdest week,
really,
I can ever imagine. I mean, like, I'm serious. This is one for the record books.
Well, what happened? I didn't see anything special.
Well, I kept it mostly to myself.
Oh, okay. Because, well, thanks for sharing in advance.
Yeah, sure. Well, I started sheetrocking this room.
Here we go. Yes, I have noticed on a couple of calls I saw some of the sheetrocking. It is obvious. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let me set the stage here. We live in a house that was built in 1892. So it's an old one. It's got all the typical stuff you could imagine from a house that old. And it was sort of taken care of before we got it, like just sort of carried forward a little bit. So we got in here. There was lots of stuff wrong with it. We had to just start doing lots of renovation. So what we've been doing is going room by room and just sort of going, you know, gut a room, put it back together, all that kind of stuff.
Oh boy. Yeah.
So the hallway where I podcast from is the current project and has been. We started it like right around the time coronavirus hit, which completely threw everything off schedule, and started Podcasting 2.0, which threw everything off schedule.
which screwed your life up. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I've been podcasting from this, you know, like horror show looking hallway that looks like a dungeon for, you know, since the beginning. Well, so I started sheetrocking it on Sunday and making some progress. Well, then we started smelling something.
Oh no.
Like it smelled like a dead animal.
Oh, in the wall.
Yeah, and I couldn't find it. And so it kept getting a little bit stronger. And we were like, man, there's got to be a dead animal around here somewhere. I spent like 2 hours trying to find this Monday night. Well, my daughter, she's like, hey, don't you have an infrared camera? Like the little, you can like plug it like a little FLIR, and you can plug it into your, it's a module you plug into the lightning port on your iPhone.
Oh.
And it'll, yeah, it's really cool. I mean, it was not,
do you have these for your proctology home exam or?
Yeah. It's where it's a moonlight as a, you know,
as a plumber,
as a CIA agent. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is my night vision. So I was like, you know, that's a great idea. I got it originally to find insulation problems in our house. Because this house has like no insulation at all.
Yeah.
And so I bought this thing and I forgot I had it. And I was like, that's a fantastic idea. So I go get it and I start looking at the walls to see if there's any sort of heat signature or something in the wall of a dead animal.
It's like CSI Dave's house.
Yeah, exactly. Enhance, zoom, rotate.
Dum, dum, dum. Mm-hmm.
So I aim it at the ceiling in our master bedroom and it's not a mouse. It's much bigger.
Oh my God.
And yeah. And so I'm like, oh my God, Melissa, that may be like a cat.
Ooh.
And so, then by Tuesday it was like reeking. And I said, I'm going to have to take off work. So I took the day off Wednesday. So like Tuesday at lunch, when we were doing that lightning roundtable and I was on the Zoom meeting,
mm-hmm.
That's why I was very quiet, because I was hunting through the house trying to find this animal. Well, then Wednesday I was again on the second lightning roundtable, and I was listening to the roundtable session up on top of a ladder, cutting a hole in our ceiling with a Sawzall and trying not to have a dead animal fall out of it on top of my head.
Brother, what did it turn out to be?
It was a possum.
Oh, ooh, ooh.
Here's your cue to boost. You know you want to.
That's right. Time to boost. Story like that deserves a boost.
Jennifer is on fire.
Okay. Wait, okay, I want you to hear that one again and wait, hear it completely clear. Right. It's so good.
Here's your cue to boost. You know you want to.
Yeah. I do now.
Okay. Do you want to see it? Do you want to see what came out of my ceiling?
Oh, is that the picture that you said do not open, which I did not do? I'm very good about these things. Okay.
If you dare, okay, you can open it.
I'm going to put it in the show notes. Hold on. Let's see. Okay. Double click. Wait. Yes. Okay. How big is this thing? How big is this picture? Oh, here we go. Oh! Oh, man. Oh, it's completely deteriorated.
Have you ever seen, it was basically like a John Carpenter movie. Uh-huh. I mean, it was like a blob of goo with a skeleton of a possum floating in the middle of it. It was the worst thing that I've ever experienced in my life.
I bet you were just retching over that. Oh, my
God. Oh, my God. It was awful. And so
I can smell it just looking at it. I'm closing this out. Shoot, man, that's horrible.
Yeah. Dreb Scott, please do not put that as chapter.
Dreb Scott,
we will never have any listeners.
I'm putting it into the show notes as we speak. So you do whatever you want.
That thing came out of my bedroom ceiling. And so we've had a fan running in our window. I got it all clean and stuff. I had to cut out like 3 feet of our ceiling just to get all the goo out. That was awful.
I just want to reiterate, Dreb, definitely put this in the chapter art, man. For sure. You have to. Come on. That's what we built this shit for, man. Hell yeah. Come on. This is great. That's finally a use case for chapter art.
This is the worst use case ever. Yeah. So anyway.
Man. Oh, that's so nasty. See, All right.
So that's the story. And like, as the whole time, it was like a trippy experience because I'm up on the ladder and we have tall ceilings. Like they're 11 and a half feet. Mm-hmm. So, I'm up on top of the ceiling with a Sawzall. Cutting it out and trying to make sure that bits of animal goo fall into the trash bag and not on me.
Yeah.
And the whole time I've got, Ben Shapiro on crack talking on the lightning round table at me. All right. I'm trying to understand what he's saying.
We'll get into this.
Okay.
But we just need to mention that he already mentioned it twice. There was a Lightning Labs roundtable, two of them. One where they presented the roadmap and they brought in developers, people with projects, probably about 80 people on the on the Zoom call. And then they had different breakout groups. And so I think there were 20, 30, 35 or so in the group that we were in, which I'm not sure exactly what it was, what the qualifications were. But Roy was in there from Breeze and a number of other people. And in both cases, the CTO of Lightning Labs, whose handle on GitHub is Roast Beef, Lulao, and I'm not sure where he's from. Is he from Nigeria?
I got no idea.
I'm going to embarrass myself. But anyway.
He's clearly the smartest person that's ever existed in the history of humanity.
Well, and that's just it. It's really interesting because he talks so fast. In fact, on the first day, I mean, I'd never heard the guy speak, and he starts, and then just the whole Zoom erupts with people going, yo, slow down. and then one of the Lightning Labs execs comes on and says, oh, pro tip, everybody, turn on your captions. And the captions were at least 30 seconds behind. And it's really funny because I got a lot of B star, 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 like, I clearly understood bitch. But it wasn't. He never said that. And so, I've lived around the world, and I can understand people speaking English with all kinds of accents. I'm really good at it. This was hard. This was really, really hard. And to be fair, I didn't like it. It kind of, it's like, dude, because I think the response is exactly what you gave. He must be the smartest person in the world. I think if he slowed down a hair, I'd still think he was the smartest guy in the world. He's very young. Yeah, he's in his mid-20s or something. He's extremely young.
I kept trying to explain to my wife how fast this guy talks. I didn't know that you could actually do that.
Tina walked in on day two because I told her on day one. I'm like, yeah, what the hell? Dude, is there a recording available? We got to play this. No one will believe it.
I know.
I know it was recorded. No one will believe it. No one will believe that there's any human being who speaks this fast.
She kept thinking I was exaggerating, and I finally showed her a YouTube video of an old thing where he was like a guest on something, and her mouth fell open. She was like, whoa. I was like, it's like being at a cattle auction. Like, that super fast talk. Yeah, I was like, oh my God.
Give me $50.
Yeah, that thing.
Oh, hold on a second. Go ahead.
He's clearly like, smarter than 75 people I know put together, wrapped up into one human being.
Well, so here we go.
Here
we go. Hold on. I got an old video.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah, I got an older video. Let's see what this is. Let me get him on.
Come over to CLI, so it's really good to see all these additional tools. They're kind of like rising in the ecosystem to like drag things forward, make it a lot easier, and also like just make it easier to understand what's going on.
Well, that's really a shitty recording. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible.
Let me get a better recording.
Yeah, that
here. Oh, this is him just talking to someone else. That should be interesting.
We said we're going to do this thing, you can't go from there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I mean, that's smart contract. Right? You can't like compel someone to do something otherwise. You know, what's actually written in the chain itself. Right?
This is actually quite slow for him.
In order to like get onto like the on ramp, basically onto layer two, you basically have one block introduction, right? Now the thing is that like you don't necessarily need to ever go back, right? For example, I've had channels open for the past like.
That's not so bad, actually.
This is tame.
That's really tame. It's when he's presenting. When it just goes off the rails. Yeah, this is just a shitty
speed word. Speed it up to like 1.5.
Yeah, yeah, anyway.
And you're in the ballpark.
Yeah, it was really bizarre. But I don't think that's good, personally. I mean, I just don't. I mean, he has the ability to speak slower, because we just heard it. That's reasonable. Anyway, I don't want to bitch and moan about it. I was quite happy that they invited us. And... Mm-hmm. I learned a lot, actually. A lot. I did a podcast girl thing. I learned a lot. Oh, yeah. So we were able to ask questions, and the first thing I said, well, not necessarily quite. I introduced myself because they definitely know who we are. They know what street there's a lot of streaming sats and Adam Curry's crew.
No, yeah.
A lot of that going on. Yeah, I said, look, I just wanted to point some things out about the network that we're seeing. It really sucks for, I didn't say sucks, but it's very difficult for microtransactions because of, if you have all this great connectivity and you've got big channels open to all the big boys, you're paying real fees. And even if they're smaller players, the fees are too high for a one sat transaction. And the answer that he basically gave was, well, don't worry about it. People will spend more. I'm like, okay. So he doesn't, and I don't know if he exactly knows how micro our transactions are.
They're very micro. They're the microest of micro.
But I heard from a couple other participants who, because I said, all right, well, we'll just continue to build our own little connections and we'll try to keep our own fees low and connect directly to each other. And I heard from a number of participants. They said that was actually, they said that's the way to go. That's a smart thing to do.
Yeah, try to build a zero fee network if you can.
Yes. And then I was allowed to ask, the stupid question, which no one could answer, was how do we get a connect to wallet? And, of course, a lot of people rolled their eyes, but what came out of it was something extremely useful for us, and that is WebLN. And now WebLN is, I'd say it's kind of a hobby project. It's not really being maintained, but it's also going to get rolled up into LND. As they're moving towards controlling LND through the web. And so there's a number of things that do that now. Joule is one, Joule, and that's a Chrome extension. And I think LND will basically come out with their own version of that or whatever. And so, but you still have to have a node to connect to do that. Then as I'm kind of, and you know, and there's no key sent. So the way WebLN works is you have a call to, if you have a WebLN compatible browser, which, you know, either it's built baked into the browser or an extension, it knows to, you know, if you click on a button, let's say a boost button, it's an API call to a WebLN backend, which, you know, sits on the node, and then it executes a payment. And it's, that's incredibly powerful, because imagine if your web browser, and this is kind of what Brave wanted to do, but if your web browser had this built in, and your web browser, any web browser you use, is connected to a node somewhere, then, you know, anyone can basically ask for payments. They don't need anything in the middle. You know, you can just say, hey, you want to see this link, up pops a dialogue. That's all native to the WebLN in the browser. So anyone with HTML skills can basically create something to get paid. The problem is having that node offsite. And so I was hunting around, and I noticed that the Blue Wallet has a WebLN browser, and it has a little example there. Yeah, you got to find it under Marketplace. And I learned that that's how all these marketplace apps really work, or it's called the LAPP browser, the Lightning app browser. Okay. It has a little example page, and you can create an invoice that says, hey, you got to pay this. It can be a targeted amount or range. And lo and behold, you create that page, click, you pay it, and you basically just paid yourself through the Blue Wallet. And I'm looking at this, I'm going, well, wait a minute. You know, we have so many great web apps. What if we just pull the web apps in and then make the payments that way? So instead of connecting to wallet, it's kind of like an iPhone case that goes around the web app. Does that make sense? Like a clear plastic wrapper that really is just obfuscated from the experience because it's a browser. So you open an app, it's really just a browser page and a wallet.
Right.
So you have an instant payment solution if you add in the key send part. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So let me play it back to you. So the WebLN part being a browser function, you would get that. You're thinking that you may get that for free if it's a web app or possibly a progressive web app.
Yes, either one will do. Or just a web page. I mean, just a web page. So let's just say I just wanted to have a simple boost functionality. So this web browser that I'm using that happens to have a wallet tied into it that speaks WebLN, it brings up a page, a Podfriend. And I want to hit boost, and I hit the boost, and Podfriend makes a call, a local call, to the app that it's running in. You know, there's a little web server, I guess, an API, and it says, pay this to this address, and boom, it'll be done. So then, in principle, you could load up any app in that browser, any web app, any podcast app that's a web app or progressive web app. And you can have the logic for the per minute Satoshis, the streaming sats, run as well. Without a problem, and everybody wins.
And this is going to be part of, like, LND is going to bake this in somehow. It's like a sort of fourth API interface.
Well, so
because they got gRPC and they have REST.
Yeah,
and I think one other one already.
Yeah, they're definitely going to build this in, and I'm sure it will. You know, so as keysend is deprecated over time, we get AMP or the static invoices, which is basically the same. I don't think the call may look a little different, but I don't think it's going to change that much. So these webhooks will just be built in. That'll be built into LND. Okay. The true magic, though, which I heard outside of this meeting, is where it's really going, and that's WebAssembly. And WebAssembly is a project that allows you to run a virtual machine in a browser, and there's an active project The public face of that is SimpleCoin, simplecoin.com. It's just an email registration, but there's a GitHub, and I'll put it in. Or there's a GitHub with a Medium article, really. I'll put it in the show notes. And they are baking an entire Neutrino node into WebAssembly. Now, there's.
That one seems less promising to me, just because you have. Like WebAssembly itself, WASM,
yeah,
it's WASM. Just a way to it's a way to compile JavaScript into native code,
right?
There's definitely advantages, there's speed advantages, there's all kinds of things that go with that, but the putting the node into the browser, you always have this problem of when you just lose everything, you lose all state when you close it, right?
I don't know.
Like, it just seems so. If the browser closes mm-hmm. in any way, or the service worker, or anything that's feeding it, like it just seems like it's like you're just toast. It's almost like you just rip the power cord out of your Raspberry Blitz or something.
So that's a lot of what they're working on, and Neutrino is a big part of that.
Okay.
Because of course you're not going to have what is it? How many? 600 gigabytes of chain data stored in your browser. I'm not sure. I'm just thinking now that the reason why NFTs have taken off so big is because of MetaMask. Now, MetaMask is just a browser extension. Boom, you can receive Ethereum. And you can, now there's a whole different thing going on with the Lightning Network because of the graph and the updating of the channels and all this stuff has to happen. But I think in practice, it probably would work very similar to what Breeze does. Breeze goes into the background. It can't do anything. It can't send. Once you bring it to the foreground, then it can do stuff.
Right.
So anyway, this may all be...
Yeah, which has some issues sometimes.
Totally.
You know?
I mean, all of this shit has issues. And even as I said in the meeting, luckily, podcast listeners are so delighted by what we're doing that they're happy to pay 3 sats in fees to get 1 sat to the podcaster. I said, that's the beautiful, beautiful thing about it. And I hope they take it. And I think they take us very seriously. And certainly people in the meeting do. Mm-hmm. But this WebLN in general, I think it's phenomenal. That should just be your browser. It should just be your browser. I'm going to get an app, and what am I? I'm getting the Lightning wallet browser, mm-hmm. and it works just like a browser, does everything. But when you hit something where someone has a WebLN piece in there, boom, you can pay for it. That's frictionless, man. That's the friction part that it's better than scanning a QR code, which is hard to do on the same device.
Well, and then you don't even really need to connect a wallet at that point because it's already
it's
connected.
In there. You are connected. Exactly.
Now I like the, can you, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, please.
Finish that train. Well, I was going to say the one thing that I was not following clearly on was he was talking about, who was it? Roy. Roy was talking about Neutrino, mm-hmm. but then Roast Beef was talking about this ability to have and I think this was on Tuesday. He's talking about the ability that they're going to try to, they're putting in some functionality to LND where you will be able to open a channel and get up and running with no on-chain transaction.
Yeah, that's the sidecar channels. That's
sidecar. Okay, that's it.
Right. That's something different. I mean, you still need a node for that. It's what that is a way to say, okay, hey, I want to get started with podcasting. And we'd say, cool, get a node and we'll open up 5 channels. And really those channels are where we already have them. We're just leasing them. It's a business thing. Now we could also give them away. We could do it for free. I mean, but it's a way to, let's call it the deep freeze channel. So you have a channel already established, good to go, fully funded, all that shit is done. And you, what, you need liquidity instead of this, open a channel to me. Okay, opening a channel. Hey, I can't find you on 1ML. You know, all this crap. Yeah, right. Instead of that, it's just boom, there's your channel. You're done.
You've been doing a bunch of channel management stuff on our node too. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about what you did? Because you've been trying to figure out how best to rearrange our channels where we have, I think you said we have fewer but bigger channels and some other things.
I'm still waiting for Eric to transfer the Bitcoin so I can open up some bigger channels and close some smaller ones.
Okay. All right.
He may be busy. I don't know. It took a while to clear and all that.
Then your financial institutions. And
yeah,
all
it was all kinds of KYC, AML.
Yeah.
Okay. But
in general, you're trying to get. You're following through on that vision to have a sort of like minimal fee or as close to no fee network as possible.
Yes. So exactly that. Now the trick is to have the right channels open to the right nodes who are really doing this type of traffic with us. Because if you show up as a well funded, and we are way underfunded to show up on any list. You know, although we have all the right channels and we have decent balance. In the incoming, outcoming for what we're doing, we're seen as a pimple out there in Lightning Land. Don't even show up on the cool analysis tools, which I also bitched about. But because then if we don't do it private, which I don't want to do, then we'll be seen as, oh, there's a cheap route, and then people can be pushing through all this liquidity through two hops in our network, and it can can deplete channels and do all kinds of stuff. So we may have to go private, but for now, so as an example, we have LNPay is really the only channel to Breeze that brings into our ecosystem that is affordable. All the other routes are through these big players and multiple hops who you can't even open a channel to because they demand so much minimum liquidity. And then, then there's five sats, five hops or whatever in between a 3 sat payment. So that's why Breeze has to stack them up for so long. And it's kind of annoying. So LNPay has a channel, and then we have a channel to LNPay. And that one is very active because it's shuttling basically Breeze payments through.
Right.
We pass many of those on to Sphinx Chat, as does LNPay. It all depends just, what's going on. And so that channel is just small. So I wind up looping it out and looping it back in just to move the liquidity from one side to the other. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy doing it. I'm learning a lot. So I don't really have much else in the way of an update there.
We're working on opening a channel directly to Breeze, right?
Yes. Yeah. And it's just, they have a 10 million sat minimum, but I think that'll really help out a lot. Also, with them just being able to send sats into our ecosystem, so we can pass it on to Satoshi Streams with no fee,
Right.
So we don't need to make money. In fact, our routing is down in general. I'm not quite sure why, but
you've been saying that since day one, basically, that, this is, we're going to try to, we don't need the fees, routing fees.
No,
that we're just wanting to pass traffic.
Yeah. I think network fees are appropriate and great, but, and we may have to look at private channels so that we don't get swamped with people looking for a cheap route.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
That's possible too. I guess we'll see what happens.
But anyway, this idea of a web browser that just has a wallet. Oh my God, would I love that. And so in Blue Wallet, it has a WebLN browser. It's just, you have to, dig in to find out where it is. That app is quite extensive, multi-sig wallets. It's got all kinds of stuff going on. And I did hear that might not ever happen on iOS, as you can't have dynamic pages and all this other crap. Probably the same stuff Martin's running into. They're really clamping down on you being able to, you having an app that can access content that is undetermined at time of submission to the App Store. I think that's kind of how it looks. So a browser, we even had that with Mastodon apps.
I find that to be a little bit of BS you can claim that's security in the same way that they claim that, 30% from the App Store is also because we're, You know, we're keeping you safe, keeping you safe from the scary web where you put your credit card into things and have to, you know, pay for things and download them.
Yeah.
And that's just, to me, that's a little bit of smoke and mirrors, because progressive web apps, the real threat to the iOS app store from progressive web apps is just the lack of the 30% cut. And, you know, that you can't, when you have a progressive web app, there's no, they can't wedge themselves into the middle of that. And I think that's, you know, we saw this week, I think Cridlin mentioned that the revenue from the app store is now bigger than the whole of the music industry.
Oh, sure. It is. Yeah.
This serious money, and they're not going to let that go. Nope. And a progressive web app is a direct threat. I mean, like, you can't get more direct than that.
Right. So, well, you know, this is a court, and not to delve into it too long, but this is, you know, there's this court case going on now, and there's testimony about the value of the app store. And the one thing that struck out for me was, hey, look, at Apple, here's how we look at things. You want a Mac? You want to live a little dangerously? You know, you want to possibly get infected? You want to install your own shit? You want to run it yourself? Here's a Mac. Over in iOS land, we protect you. And that's fair. Yeah,
but, I don't think it is fair. I think it's bullcrap. Look at all the scammy apps that are on the App Store.
Oh, I'm not saying that they're successful. Look, that they're hypocrites, of course. But you know what? I could figure out Graphene OS. I can buy a different phone. People either will stand for this shit, and if they want to be so called safe and locked in and still super tracked, fine. I have no time to stand around. Which brings me to the next piece I'm annoyed about.
Oh, please.
License block moderate. I'm tired of this conversation. And a great appearance on Podland. I enjoyed I enjoyed it very, very much. But it did bring up some questions. And, you know, because I think it was James Cridlin from Pod News who started a week or so ago about we need...
the block tag,
the block tag, and we need a license tag, and like, what is going on? Because the thing is, I've been through this movie before. This we went through all of this 15 years ago, where you're using my feed on your site. That's stealing. You're hijacking my feed. Now, when it comes, we already discussed this on the last show. Someone taking audio, taking clips out of it, hosting on their own servers. Those are pretty clear. But this is about and this is maybe my problem with this topic. It's being conflated, these three things. It's license in the feed. It's a block tag in the feed. And somehow moderation has to do with this. And I'm not quite sure if it's all about moderation or if it's really all about monetization or if it's both. So what I'm seeing is James Cridlin saying, as a creator, you should have the right to determine where your content goes. And I want to just stop right there. On the internet, when it comes to a feed, that's a link. That's not your content, that's a link. Are we going to go through that whole argument again of creating laws against deep linking? We did this already. Without a link, you don't have an internet. So it's preposterous to say I have content over here and you can't link to it. Well, you're a website that surfaces the content, or you're an aggregator, or you're an index, or you're a voting site or something else. I should have the right. No. Do we now want to ban blogs from having links? So I don't understand where this thinking comes from, other than I'm getting screwed. I want to monetize, and I don't want anyone else to monetize off of my back. And so that goes right into, well, here's this show that's being stolen. Well, making my point for me, we came up with the lock tag so that would at least be something that we could point to. This is not supposed to be imported. We built it for Anchor. The whole issue about this searching for Natasha podcast is an Anchor based feed.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are the plague. So let's not pussyfoot around. Let's just say Anchor are assholes. Done. It's very simple what we've created for this. But then really, is it about that? Or is it about what actually an index or an aggregator or an app has, what kind of links it is maintaining. And that comes into the moderation part. And I want to play a little piece of your interview with Sam Sethi, because it was just bizarre how this license block taking feeds turned into, well, we have to be able to moderate.
So that's one part that I wanted to talk to you about, was the plagiarism. And the other part, though, just to get your opinion, because I don't think it's something you're directly involved in, should podcasting hosts, though, use auto-transcription and AI to look at the physical policing of content within podcasts, or is that something that Adam might roll around on the floor and kick his legs up in the end and scream and say no?
Also, unnecessary roughness on the field. What is this? Leave me out of this.
Disproportionate use of force.
Well, I don't run a hosting company. You know? So it's just odd that was part two of this whole issue. We'll continue.
You're not allowed to do that. It's a free speech platform, and stop trying to prevent that. Because my worry is you're going to get somebody like a Marcia Green put out a podcast where she goes, I can say anything I like within this, and it could be hate speech. It could be anything.
This is where the Brits and the Americans separate themselves, man. It can be hate speech. It can be anything. And this is a real thing. And I just want to make sure that everyone understands, in my mind, I follow the constitutional definition of freedom of speech, which is really stuff the government cannot do to you. I can say whatever I want. The government cannot infringe upon that, except for a very narrow case, such as yelling fire in a crowded theater when there is no fire. That's still free speech, but it has, you know, it has issue. It has responsibility, as we would say. Hate speech is so subjective. And when this comes up in podcasting world, I put my foot down. What I find hateful or offensive, it may not be hateful or offensive to you. And this conversation is going right now. And I think I know why. It's because of Israel and Palestine. It's raging everywhere. People are yelling back and forth about this. And it's a never ending fight, just like the actual situation is never ending fight. But let's try and keep this idiocy of hate speech, which the only examples I ever hear is Alex Jones and Joe Rogan hate speech. Okay.
Well, Alex Jones is podcasting 2.0. I mean, we know that. It's not Chapters. It's not that.
We built it for him. It's too bad he's not there yet. Exactly.
Go ahead. No, I didn't know you were going to play.
Should we as podcasters be ready for this before it becomes a legal issue, by addressing it in some way, or do we have to just wait for somebody to challenge a hosting company and sue them?
Ultimately, that will be where it comes down to, if you want to get a real answer to it. But I don't think that it's really that much of a thorny issue with us. Our standpoint is that, as from a directory approach, we as the directory don't want to be policing it. You don't want your routers on the internet, or your BGP routers, policing content. Those things just need to pass content and let the policing happen at a higher layer up the chain. So I think that really at the hosting company level, each one has to make their own decisions. We see that with DNS too. There's this constant battle in the cybersecurity realm of trying to police DNS providers.
Exactly. DNS providers, or trying to tell people you can't link to something. You can't have a collection of links. You can't publish a collection of links. Links are truly the currency of the internet. Now, if you want to make sure that your feed is not duplicated, that's where I think a license, and it was interesting to hear some misconceptions there. It's like, well, what kind of license? What tiers? No. There's a million licenses out there. I like Creative Commons. I've used it successfully in court, and that could just be for the use of your feed. That's a little different than the link. It's for the use of your feed, just the way we look at podcast index, is like, we're going to list everything. If you are the owner of it, you don't want it there, great, we'll take it down, and soon we'll have a tool for you to do that yourself. That's fantastic. You don't have to be a part of that. But that's just our choice.
Well, I don't think that. No, let me back that up. I think that your instinct about this is correct. That there's many things being conflated, and it really just makes the whole conversation more difficult, because you have really three different things. You have policing of content, meaning hate speech and all this kind of stuff. You have licensing of content, and then you have blocking of who can list and where you show up. I guess it's four things, and then you have finally fraud.
Right.
So, like, it's really a whole lot of different things, and it does not help the conversation to have them sort of all poured into one bowl and like mixed around, because they're really four separate conversations to be had. So the license tag is great, is in my opinion great, because you can express a license in the feed and you can say, here's what you can do with my content legally. I think it's no different than what we do with open source software. It's just, it makes sense. When it comes to blocking where you can be listed, separate issue. But if you put the block tag in your feed, and you try to express in your feed, I only want these particular directories to be able to list me. That's, to me, silly. I think personally, I've already said I'm willing to do the block tag. I think it's fine, but if people start using it for a bunch of shenanigans and garbage, I'm just going to stop. I'm not going to respect the tag that we built.
Let me just take one thing out of the equation here. If you're worried about your content being stolen, that has been solved. It was solved many years ago. It's called digital rights management. Go to Spotify. You can put it there. You'll be safe. You can have it running in their system. Go to Apple, do a subscription. It's all DRM'd. And then your content will never get stolen. That's easy. Easy. If you want to live dangerously, just like Microsoft grew big, not just because of their tactics and their dominance with hardware manufacturers. Piracy was an important part of their global domination. The No Agenda show has a policy, do whatever you want. We wouldn't be a quarter the size if we had said, oh, no, you can't do that. Oh, no, please, you can't have a player there. You can't set up a web. No, we encouraged it. We did the opposite. We said, go for it. And then if you make any money, send us some. It's not necessarily, the IRS looks at us and goes, boy, you guys have very irregular income. Very strange. What's going on in your company? Sure, exactly. But you got to go all in or not. I don't think there's a middle ground when it comes to all of these issues, piracy included. And look at Anchor. I mean, if anything, we should outlaw free shit. That's the problem. Everyone, like, hey, you get what you pay for. Everyone goes to Anchor, and it's difficult to do things, and it sucks. And okay. But also, they're a plague. They're a scourge.
Well, the industry has expressed that they don't want their content stolen, so to, quote unquote stolen. And we built a tag for it, and now it's time to just start the industry itself to start publicly shaming. And I plan to actually play a part in that, because what I'm going to do is, and I've already started kind of figuring this out yesterday. What I started thinking about was watching for these feed URL changes, and when things move from a paid host to a free host, and all of a sudden, when that happens, if the lock tag was in place when that transition happened, then I'm going to
you'll know it happened. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I'm going to pass it along to industry news, right, and that kind of thing. And we'll just to give people the heads up, or I'll pass it along to the host. I'll tell if somebody went from Blueberry to Anchor and they had the lock tag and Anchor didn't respect that, then I'll just let Todd know or somebody and just say, hey, here, I'll just start feeding people stuff and saying, this is what's going on. Because, I mean, that's the only way to fix it. That's not going to happen, but that's the only way to get any traction, because there's no legal stuff here. It's got to be the industry policing itself.
There's definitely a way to do that, and we will be there one day. It'll take a bit, but one of these days there's going to be enough of our apps, I'll just call them our apps, our team FU, and we're gonna say, you know what, t-shirt. Everyone's going to block everything from Anchor. Sorry if your podcast is there. You're not going to work on any of these apps because they're dickheads. You want to see something change real fast when people start moving? It's easy to move. And then the people who don't care, who cares about them anyway? We would have that power. All of the collective apps would have that power.
The fourth leg is the hate speech thing. And that is, to me, right, like at this moment in history, that is such a prescient discussion, because the one thing that we've seen over the past week, and this is just like the most perfect example I can imagine, is the whole thing with walking back the Wuhan lab coronavirus leak.
Yes.
And I don't want to get off into NA territory, but you walk this, we have seen the entire world now walking back from, oh, you thought coronavirus was a Wuhan lab leak. You're a kooky conspiracy theorist.
You're deplatformed.
Yeah, you're deplatformed. Go back 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Go back 6 months ago, and if you were on YouTube and you were spreading quote unquote coronavirus misinformation, man, they would hammer you. You got deplatformed instantly. No questions asked. I've got a long Reddit thread that I never actually brought up on this on the show, but I've got a long Reddit thread that I printed out of this guy who was like, I got deplatformed. Nobody will respond to me. I never said anything other than just, you know, basic information about the virus. They got automated. The thing that Sam was talking about, the auto transcriptioning, flagged it.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled it down. And he was banned, and he was banned for like 3 weeks with no explanation whatsoever. And he's like, I didn't say anything wrong. And so that, to you know, taking it back to the coronavirus lab leak thing, now all of a sudden I've got this article right here. It says where PolitiFact retracted its Wuhan lab theory fact check. Washington Post also has retracted theirs. Now all these fact checkers that were claiming that that's a nut job, kooky conspiracy theory about the lab leak are now reversing their mm-hmm. fact check from false to maybe. And in the process, potentially lots of creators were deplatformed and lost a livelihood because these dudes got it wrong
for
political agendas.
So not just creators, doctors, right?
Yeah.
Doctors, scientists. And that last point is the point. Fact-checking, facts, truth, information changes over time. So for the fact-checkers to say, you know what, we're reversing this, fair game. But that's not fair when you're throwing people off platforms because of it. That's the part that's a problem. Like, you fact-check false and you're out. And when it comes to something as subjective as hate speech, and this is part of why this is mission number one is, the reason I want to stay relevant, Dave, is to, it's all political. I just want to make sure Alex Jones can be heard. But the prevalence of this topic and the, cavalierness with which hate speech is used and discussed amongst very smart people, I have a clip, is disturbing. This is my favorite hate cast because I hate them. I hate the podcast. And so whenever a new episode, I wish I could boost because I'd hate boost. I would. I'd hate be boost. Hate boosting.
That's a good thing.
I would I be like hate that. Boosting all over this thing. I'd just be jizzing sats on them. Is Pivot from Kara Swisher, who, as you know, when podcasting was first introduced, the first thing she said is, well, how do we make sure that no naughty content gets you to camp? So she's been a moderator and a deplatformer from day one. And Scott Galloway, who I think is a very smart guy, he's incredibly wealthy and arrogant. So that gives me an extra hate thing. But there's a lot of good information, a lot of interesting takes on stories. They come from things, it's not even we may have political differences, but that's unimportant. It is truly about the words they use And this was an example when it comes to Russia, because, of course, Russia, very, very bad. And now Google had fined Russia had fined Google $80,000 for not removing some content or putting something, whatever it was. It was about moderating and or removing or adding content in Russia. But bottom line, moderating. And here's what they had to say about it.
This is a country, you're right, it's not a big business for Google. Russia is a big business. I think Russia has more to lose here in that regard. But it's not just Russia, it's India. Like, they're doing stuff in New Zealand, Australia, like this, Canada, like, and then eventually
New Zealand,
the US.
Really?
Yeah, they're all like talking about various and sundry things about it. But, you know, in the democracies, it's like hate speech needs to be controlled.
Right.
In Russia, it's don't talk Navalny. Like,
yeah,
it's
speech needs to be controlled.
Speech needs to be controlled is really the bottom line. Although it's different speech, and I think you and I would probably go, yeah, hate speech needs to be controlled. No, let Navalny speak. You know, I mean, that's the problem here.
Well, that's the nuance that no one wants to talk about.
Now we'll talk about it, Professor. In a democracy, you want to moderate hate speech. I mean, that's the most contradictory thing I've heard in my life.
I've got a clip that I've been hauling around for a little bit. Obama on free speech, 2012.
I know that not all countries in this body share this particular understanding of the protection of free speech. We recognize that. But in 2012... at a time when anyone with a cell phone can spread offensive views around the world with a click of a button, the notion that we can control the flow of information is obsolete.
Not according to Kara.
No. So at some point between 2012 and now, the dialogue changed from, hey, this is free speech, just deal with it, to, oh, we can do this.
Yes.
We can moderate every word that comes out of everybody's mouth.
Yeah.
And that's to, so they're, you know, this whole thing of the PolitiFact retractions, the same thing, you know, I brought this up a few months ago, the same thing happened with, or not the same thing, but a similar issue happened with Joe Biden in his track record on, the crime bill.
The 94 crime bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was a lot of the other Democrat nominees in the race for the White House were almost claiming that his crime bill led to mass incarceration of blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if you did a survey of all the fact checking organizations, it was all over the map.
Do you realize that even just the fact that you said blacks and not African American, the transcript would be flagged and this episode would be at best delayed for release?
Yeah, that the very, you know, it was all over the map. It's true, false, maybe, perhaps. You know, there was no consistency.
Of course not.
Whatsoever.
Of course not. Of course not. It's so subjective, but it's also pathetic. And
well, when you're fact check, this is what I mentioned to Sam. When it's not about what you find, it's about what you do with it when you find it.
Yes, I heard you say that exactly. Then what? So okay, we found it. We found the big offense. Now what?
Yeah, that's the thing. This podcast that got delisted. I don't know if nobody still knows what the problem was, but this podcast was called
Finding Natasha.
No, Hidden.
Oh, something different. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So the host of this podcast is called Hidden something. I can't remember, Hidden Agendas, or I don't remember, but it's, he said, I have a podcast with 1,635 ratings, 5.0 average. Been around for 5 years, and the podcast is no longer showing on the mobile app, on the Apple Podcast mobile app. And he said, he followed it up, and he said, the episode mentions the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Could this have caused it to be censored? And he links to the transcript.
Oh, right.
You know, and the thing is, like, when I was talking to Sam, I'm like, okay, so maybe you have a podcast host based in Israel. Maybe you have another one based in Palestine. Maybe you have one in the United States. Well, each one of those organizations is they have to be responsible for this. These kind of decisions have to be hyper-local. They cannot be anything broad-based that you can have you can just plug in a content moderation system and have it do the work for you. Because if, let's just say that you did get deplatformed from a Israeli podcast host for saying something that they thought was potentially dangerous or hate speech or something like that. Well, then you can move to another host.
In the United States, where I think still a lot of hosting takes place, there is a protection under Section 230. The host doesn't have to do anything. They don't have to concern themselves. There's no liability. All of that is fine. They don't have to worry about it at all. It's not the same everywhere, but it's a non-issue. Why would they have to do that unless they're being contacted by some content police headed by Kara Swisher in some kind of cop uniform with chains?
I can tell you this. I think I've mentioned this before. My wife is basically a civil rights activist. And we do lots of stuff with the black community here in Birmingham. And we were at a thing about 3 weeks ago. It was a survey of a few of the black civil rights leaders in Birmingham, which if you know any of the history of Birmingham, Alabama, zero for civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolute black civil rights heroes were born and lived here. And so there was a guy from the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute there doing an overview of four different figures that were prominent in Birmingham civil rights. One of them was Angela Davis. She was here. She was actually born here in Birmingham. I don't know if anybody knows that, but this guy did a survey, and it was the audience was mostly white, and it's probably 80-20. And the sense you got was, we just want to have open dialogue. Just want to be able to talk to each other without fear. And we get, I see that all over the place. The political activists on social media have stirred up so much distrust. The social media race war has been so detrimental. That's one of the things I love about Mo is he's all the time saying, he's quoting Malcolm X by saying we need to sit down together at the same table and talk without fear. And that's 100% right.
Well,
and if you have content moderation systems just sort of slowly churning in the background, flagging people, deplatforming people, all this kind of stuff, it does. Then you take it out and there's no humanity in that at all.
That's exactly right. And it's so deep, as I noticed doing the show with Mo. Everything's on the table with us. And so I'll say hey man, I feel really uncomfortable about this certain situation and here's how I approach it and here's what I think in a black American, white American, scenario. And he'll say, mm-hmm. Well, it's odd because I have exactly these feelings on my side and I'm afraid to say this or that. And it's all because of this lack of dialogue, because of the policing of words, that you're not saying it right and might offend someone by using the wrong terminology or pronoun. And anyway, podcasting is a place for everybody. I really don't care. I don't think moderation will ever work. The only reason to moderate is to keep advertisers happy. That's the only reason to do it. And that's why it happens, because ultimately advertisers want nothing to do with controversy of any kind.
There are definitely things that I don't want to listen to at all.
Right. So guess what? You probably don't listen to it.
I don't. No, I don't.
Yeah.
And the other thing about the quantity, the number of those things is very small. I mean, the number of podcasts out there that are truly, and I mean truly offensive, like in a way where you can tell the person is an actual psychopath. That, and I mean that in the medical sense, those things are very rare.
Some of my favorites. I love those. The complete crazy. You know, there was I got a note this morning, someone on No Agenda Social said, are you moderating content? Blah, blah, blah. I said, what are you talking about? Well, I had this whole thing about Palestine versus Israel, and all of a sudden that thread is gone. And I said, well, maybe the other guy blocked you, and maybe he deleted his post, which deletes the children of that post. It's, you know, what do you want me to say? And he said, but there should be a record. There should be a record of this conversation.
And for who?
Yeah, exactly. So that to me is also lunacy. It's a mental issue. You're addicted to something. You're addicted to some kind of controversy or something you need to have, or you're missing. No, maybe you're missing something else in your life. You know, not that important.
I mean, take Brian of London, Jew living in Israel. He'll be the first one to tell you, you know, the Holocaust deniers and those kind of folks. He's like, I think the most effective strategy for those guys is ridicule.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to shut them up because it makes them more dangerous. I just want to sit back and laugh at them.
Bottom line is all this divisiveness is done for a reason. It's divide and conquer. It's like, we're all bickering. We're all doing stupid shit and we're not getting on with our mission. So, let's move on with the mission, shall we? How about that?
I've got...
Oh. And now it's
yeah, no.
The gun on me. I didn't know I wasn't ready.
No. We need to bring some sexy back into the show.
What do you want to do?
Well, you're closing closing the phase.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that phase three?
Three. Okay. Yeah. So that's going to be, license, trailer, and alternate enclosure.
Ooh, okay. An alternate enclosure is big because then we can move forward with the video with NA-tube to have different resolutions, right? That's one use.
Yeah, so it's got a few different uses. Like, this is sort of a real Swiss Army knife. And a few uses you can have. We'd have low bit rate versions of... low or high. Of different audio content or video content. You could have alternate streams, like something like a director's cut or a commentary track, things like that. You could have different aspect, like different resolutions of video, basically any different type of media experience that's related to that.
Let me ask you a question. Just hit me. So it can be any content type, yeah?
Any content type, yes.
So just a crazy, crazy question. Could it be a content type? Could it be a file that has a chat room transcript synchronized to the playback? Does it have to be pure playable media?
Yeah, that's not really gonna happen with alternate enclosure that I know of. I don't think so.
Okay, all right. It was just a crazy idea I threw out there.
I need to look.
Uh-oh. Dave's going to the archive. By the way, when I saw your walls, do you live in the same place that Tim does from Ellen Pay? Because it looks very similar.
Oh, does he have possums also?
I don't know if he's possums, but I see the exposed insulation in the wood. Yeah. Like bare light bulbs and stuff. I'm like,
Yeah, I don't ask my wife about that because she's not real happy with the state of our house right now.
Yeah, I'm sure the possum wasn't a winner with her either.
Oh, no, that's not going over well. Let's see, type, when I'm looking at the attributes here, type, length, bit rate. You can specify these different attributes on the alternate enclosure,
but it can be a torrent. It can be a torrent as well, correct?
Yes, different. Okay, so he's got in here different codecs. Yes, a torrent. Like you can have different. If you wanted to serve your, well, here's another use case. If you wanted to have your base enclosure be HTTPS, but then you also wanted to serve a version over IPFS.
Oh, okay.
You could perfect. Do that with the
perfect,
enclosure.
Perfect, yeah. Perfect.
Then you could have audio and video both.
Here's a question. Okay. A web app, that if I'm using a web app using Brave, and Brave has the IPFS switched on, it should understand the alternative link natively, right?
That is a good... Wow, that's a good...
How fucking cool would that be?
The only question would be whether or not Brave could interpret what the file was supposed to be. So, like, when you deliver a binary attachment, they call it an attachment in HTTP parlance. When you deliver a binary attachment, you specify in the response header. I'm sorry, I'm doing all this on the fly.
And your, so that your cap file knows what app to open. Yes, your dot cap file, wasn't that it?
Doesn't the CAB? The dot CAB?
No, that's CAP. I think it was like a Unix thing. Cap.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. That's you're going farther back than me.
Yeah.
So when you deliver a file over a binary file over HTTP, you can specify in the response header what the MIME type is, and then also what the content. So I think it's called the content disposition header, and that tells whether you open it inline or download it as an attachment, or download it as a file download, which basically, you know, just saves it to your machine instead of delivering it to the browser viewport to be
right.
Handled as content.
By the way, it was a dot mail cap file. I'm sorry.
Oh, mail cap. Yeah, I know that. Yeah. That's just like the inbox form.
Yes, to know what to
inbox
open.
Format. Yeah. The mail capabilities file, and that was
that's it.
So that would be the only question, is whether or not Brave has the ability to pull some sort of control directive out of the returned thing in IPFS, because IPFS, to my knowledge, doesn't have anything like a header, like a response header that can tell the browser what to do with it.
Right. Well, here's the good news. I'm looking now. I have DMs with Brandon Ike.
Oh, great.
He's from Brave, right?
Yeah. He's the inventor of JavaScript.
Yeah. So I'll just say, hey, Brandon, fix this for us, will you? Damn it.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Have it done by Monday.
I wonder if Sethy knows him, because Sam used to work at Mozilla. I bet they were around at the same time.
Oh, really? Maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, man. He's probably persona non grata. He's a homophobe.
Oh, yeah, Brandon. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he gave money to some company that's to some political outfit that's homophobe, so can't deal with him anymore.
Yeah, well, that's...
Or at least that's what he was deplatformed for, whether it was true or not. I don't know. Who cares?
So anyway, that's the alternate enclosure. That has to be, that's step one of getting to, it's not just step one of getting this other thing. I mean, it's a badass tag, but it is also step one of getting to where we want to go with the live stream part.
So, yes.
And then Podping will take, we're going to hopefully evolve that thing into a
live alert system.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to stop.
All right.
Dave Jones, stop. You have done such an incredible job with Podping. Not only, so you've stringed it all. Brian of London, of course, lots of people helped, but you oversaw the project, strung it together. You personally reaching out to the hosts to make sure that they start pinging us, and you're doing PR for it.
Emma, what about I'm doing PR?
You went on the Podland show.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Right. You went on just for yucks? No, you went on to. I got to teach you so much, son. That's promotion.
Autopilot. I'm on autopilot.
Congratulations, man. This is a very, very, very big deal.
Yeah. I think so. I think it is a big deal.
Oh, it has liftoff. I mean, we've got a few of the biggest hosts on board already. Now we just need to start shaming the rest.
That's what I told Sam yesterday. When I start adding this, I started adding it up. I've got my sheet here. Let me pull out my sheet.
In fact, we are single-handedly saving tons of carbon. We should get carbon credits for what we're doing, honestly.
Ooh, can we trade
Eric, get us some carbon. Yes, you can trade those. You can trade them for Dogecoin.
For BAT, for BAT.
Hey, I'll take BAT. I finally turned that on. I'm like, I need some BAT. I want to collect some BAT. Yeah, I have almost nothing.
Well, see, that's how you buy Hive, evidently, is you get trade BAT? Carbon credits to get BAT to move into Dogecoin to finally buy Hive. I was just wanting to buy some Hive the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
It's not easy, I know.
Brian, stop complaining about Lightning.
Yeah, really.
Have you ever bought Hive before? Oh. It is impossible.
No. Don't make him post about it. Don't make him post.
So the top 25 hosting companies are collectively responsible for 3.4 million out of the 3.8 million feeds we have. So, I mean, if those top 25 guys start pod pinging, you could almost shut down all aggregators. I mean, you could have like one aggregator sitting in the closet doing the rest of them.
And
in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I keep pinging Apple Podcasts on Twitter. Say, hey, yeah. You know, every single time someone says, how come my podcast hasn't shown up yet? I say, they're working fine over here, newpodcastapps.com. And Apple, you're more than welcome to tie into PodPing. Come on, it'll save you money. I mean, they can do it overnight and then focus on those edge cases and get those with your crawler. I don't want to think about how much carbon is being spewed into the atmosphere, smothering Greta Thunberg because of the Apple crawler.
There's three PodPing servers currently, U.S., Europe, Australia. See what I'm doing, James
sexy,
and John Chiji?
Sexy, yeah.
I got you one local.
I see you, baby.
It's upside down.
Very nice.
And
he's doing business strategy, ladies and gentlemen. He's a powerhouse. Wait, donate, boost. Come on, everybody.
Here's your cue to boost. You know you want to.
All right. Speaking of boost, okay, I've got three. I did not know Dame Jennifer was going to do that. So I've got a boost jingle that I did.
But
I have three variations. I have three variations of this.
Wait, are you doing audio production now as well? I mean, why am I even showing up?
Well, this was Fauci saying boost because he says it 1,000 times a day.
He does.
So we got to have a Fauci boost.
Boost.
So
that's one.
Boost.
Boost. Okay, now number two.
Boost.
I like that with a bloop bloop.
Okay, so number three is sweetened up with a little bit of confetti.
Boost.
That didn't come across very well.
No, that doesn't quite work.
I don't know. What do you think? One, two, or three?
Well,
boost. Boost.
I think two has, it's a funny little, I like plunk plunk, but we need a little extra, jizz SFX in there.
Jizz. Number three came across like a hiss, and it was supposed to be confetti.
Let me see. How about this? We could also do a combo deal here. We could do
boost.
A little cruise missile action.
That number two sounds like it's supposed to be a cork pop, but it sounds like Fauci's in the bathroom dropping a
deuce.
Yeah,
boost.
We can go on forever.
All right. Anyway, that's my contribution to the jingle scenario.
Very nice. We need an onboard. I was thinking about this though. We need some kind of onboarding doc, something that. Maybe similar to the value for value.io that I did just explains, here's what it is. I mean, I'm sure you have it, but it's something we could point people to so they can harass other people about it to get it done. Something they can send to Tim Cook, which I'm sure is tcook@apple.com.
Yeah. That's probably not a mailbox that gets a lot of email.
By the way, Steve Jobs was literally sjobs@apple.com.
Was he for real?
Yeah, I have it still. I have the... I when I was going to go meet with him, I signed up for Apple Mail. So I had Adam Curry at mac.com, I think. because I for sure didn't want to, you know, I wanted to seem like such a loyalist. And so, and so he said, you got emails? Yeah, Adam Curry at Mac.com. And he sent me an email, sjobs at Mac.com. Maybe that's just something he sends from, I don't know. But I kept it. I was impressed.
I bet he had a full-time sysadmin just to manage his mailbox.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I know. The way to do it is you just throttle the attachment size. That's what works for me.
Yeah, well, you've got a full-time sysadmin working on your mailbox.
I do. Void zero. Yeah, I do. But it's a, is it something I can help write or something that we can put together? Just a doc? Because it's so good. I want people to, and maybe we approach it from a Save the Earth perspective.
Or, no, you're talking about the value block, right?
No, I'm talking about Podping.
Oh, Podping. Oh, like an onboarding doc?
Yeah.
Well, not yet, because I'm having to manually create the authentication tokens.
Okay. So we're not ready yet.
We're working on now. And by the way, Brian of London, he wrote half this crap himself. It's not, you know, this is not just me.
Oh, no, he's 100, you know. And he's on fire.
Yeah. I mean, he just does not stop. He doesn't sleep. And, you know, Alex Gates is helping him with his Python and all that kind of stuff. It's such a great team effort here.
Totally.
Speaking of team, Mike Newman or Neumann, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name. He finally filled out the team repo. And so that.
Oh yes. That repository, I saw that. Yes. Very nice. That's a big list.
It's a very big list.
And loved it.
If your stuff is messed up on there or not right, or if you're not on it, just do a pull request and fix it. Yeah.
Right.
But I really appreciate him doing that, because there's been so many people contributing to this, and you just can't remember them all. And it's nice to look. I was looking down that list and remembering what people have done. I was like,
oh my goodness, so much. Yes, I know. Yeah. Can you grab your stack of papers and let's thank some of the people who have devoted their treasure to podcasting 2.0, as we are a value for value proposition. You can support the show in many ways. One, of course,
here's your cue to boost. You know you want to.
Yes, you do. Boost us hard. or you can go to podcastindex.org, scroll down to the bottom. There's a big red donate button for your cuck bucks through PayPal. That's still a preferred method, since we don't have the channels to get more than 10 bucks at a time. But we're building. And all we ask is that people support the whole project, which includes the podcast, everything around podcasting 2.0, to keep the servers running, keep everything moving. We use this money to open channels. There's all kinds of stuff. We have a couple of people to thank for today's episode and the past week's work.
Yeah, it's a really good stack. Right off the bat, Xavier from Podcast Addict gave us $500.
Holy crap.
Yeah. He says, nice. keep up the great work, Xavier from Podcast Addict.
I think I promoted Podcast Addict on the last No Agenda. I'm doing that now at every donation segment. I'm talking about podcasting 2.0. Then I talk about newpodcastapps.com. And then I say, I suggest you try out this app today. And I think Podcast Addict was maybe 2 weeks ago or two or three shows ago. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm throwing everything in, everything I got.
Yeah. Guns blazing.
Yeah, guns blazing. Exactly. Thank you very much, Xavier. Really appreciate it.
Let freedom
that.
Ring. let's see. Who we got next? Oh, Sir Pete. 6969.
Oh, Sir Pate, actually, from the Netherlands. Yes. Thank you, Sir Pate. Appreciate it. He's been around my value projects for a long time. He's a good guy.
Okay, so he says, Sir Pate says, Dear Dave and Adam, listen, here's the deal. I can't help getting... That was not a good Joe Biden. listen, here's the deal. I can't help getting great ideas when I listen to your Friday Inspiration broadcast. As a former software architect, I love to hear how Dave continuously improves the way the index and the feed features work. As a former content strategist, I also love how Adam translates those improvements to something both business owners and listeners get. Oh. As a side note, I'm still baffled why people are hesitant to implement the value block. I am as well. Even Even if it's a closed-loop value system, the streaming sats and messages are the ultimate way to track engagement and ways to improve the bond with listeners and producers. It's like having your own private verified Nielsen engine. Anyways.
That's right. Hell yeah.
That is my 6.969 cents worth. Keep singing the gospel and building and keep building on the backbone of liberated media. Love is lit. Love equals fire. Thank you, Sir Pete.
Love is lit is a new thing that No Agenda producers have latched onto. So,
Where did that come from?
Well, it came from, there was a period when a lot of people were dying, celebrities, and on social media, you always see the following, RIP, love and light.
Oh, yeah.
And so we would start saying, oh, yes, love and light, love and light. And somewhere someone, it's almost like HODL. Someone misspelled it, became love and lit, and so that just stuck. Now it's love and love and lit. Thanks, Sir Pate. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, so Sir Bill of Glen Rock, he gave us $50, and he said he says, please credit me as Sir Bill of Glen Rock. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting. Thank you very much.
Go podcasting!
Sir Bill of Glen Rock.
This guy's familiar. Benjamin Bellamy.
Hey, Benjamin Bellamy.
$45. He donates just to hear you say that.
I know. And for me to say, Castopod, c'est numéro un.
It's your French that keeps him coming back for more. $45.70.
Paid in French socialist government euros.
Oh, so, or if I was Cridland, I would say, $45.70. Thank you for everything you bring to free podcasting and to the open web. I don't know if I deserve it, but I'd be honored to get a t-shirt. Of course you deserve it. You're the one that designed the logo. Yeah.
Of course he does. Get that man a t-shirt. Definitely.
I promise I'll do my best to be worthy. What color do you want your Castapod instance? Benjamin Bellamy.
What color do I want my Castapod instance?
I thought they were all green.
I'd like it to orange, please. I would. Orange, the color of Bitcoin, and coincidentally, the color of all human beings on a color scan. We're all orange.
Also the color of Donald Trump's skin.
Yes, okay. Thanks. Another good reason, Dave. Thanks for bringing that up.
Maybe you want to switch it to blue now.
No, I want orange. I can't wait, Benjamin. Thank you so much for supporting everything. You guys are truly, and thank you for however you did that and however you get funded. And if you ever need someone to help with a presentation for your next funding round from the government, let me know. I'll monkey dance. I'll help you. I will. I'm good at it. I help people raise money all the time.
No, I know you are.
I love it. I love helping with that. I love it. It's free service. If it's for podcasting.
Yeah, just give a boost. Just boost back.
Boost.
Michael Kimmerer sent us $25, and he says, boosting my monthly, Sir Michael Black Knight of the Dude's Name Ben.
Nice, man.
Boost.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm liking these, Dave. I'm liking them.
For that boost, for that donation, you get to listen to Fauci take a dump. Let's see. This is anonymous. Anonymous from Northern Virginia. Go podcasting. He gave us 11/11. Snake Eyes.
Go podcasting.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay, we've got two subscriptions. $10. Each one's $10 from Jordan. There's not a note on either one of them. Jordan Dunville, $10 a month, and James Sullivan, $10 a month. Okay. Thank you both.
Thanks both. Appreciate it very much. Yeah.
No, there's no note on those, but do you want to defragment them or something?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
You've been defragmented.
And let's see, we got Christopher. Let's see, these are the monthlies that hit this week.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Reamer, Stu Coates, Michael Kimmer. Oh, Michael, he just donated a one-time donation too. Christopher was $10, Stu Coates, $6.66, Michael Kimmer, $5.33, Jeff Miller, $20, Leslie Martin, $2. Dreb Scott, $15.
Thank you, Dreb.
Thanks. Terry Keller, $4.11. Pedro Goncalves, $5. And Aaron Reno, $5. And I think we need, I think it's not obvious. We have reciprocity with the no agenda peerage, right? I mean, if you show up here as a knight or something, I mean, you get full honors.
Oh, you get treated as a knight, of course. We recognize peerage across all tribe boundaries. Absolutely.
Yeah, Mofax.
Mofax, of course. Yeah,
you're recognized with your appropriate level of honor.
We accept your credentials here.
Yes. Full reciprocity.
That's right. It's like the Sheraton also accepting Marriott points.
Yeah. Yeah, to make the cheapest analogy possible is that.
I thought you'd appreciate that.
All right. That's it. That's our group. Yeah.
Thank you all very much. You're doing great work. Everyone is. Time, talent, treasure, the three T's of the value for value model. It just proves that humanity exists and we can do these things when we all pull it together. Again, I'll say it, you know, we have the brain power of, at this point, a $50 million company that is working on projects, and we're more open, more honest, and more driven, and more enthusiastic than any other company I've been a part of or started. It's incredible to see this type of energy, and everyone should be very proud of what we're doing. Even Dvorak, he's like, hey, man, you guys got traction with that podcast 2.0 thing. Yeah, I'm going to write up some
high praise.
It is high praise. I'm going to write up some. I'm going to get you more interviews, more exposure for this thing. I said, that's really kind, John. Yeah. I got a list, and I know who to talk to, and I'll get you on the TV and everywhere. And well, that's nice, man. Why? Because you know, whenever you do that, more people show up for no agenda. So it's good.
Of course.
Exactly the conversation we had.
There's an article, Cosmic Weenie article incoming.
Yeah, Cosmic Weenie article. Whoop whoop.
As a PDF.
Yeah. Big up to Stephen B with CurioCaster, who just waltzed into the garden and said, "Oh, look at this. Holy crap, that guy has everything working." I don't think there's a single tag that isn't working in that app.
That's a great app. I mean, it's solid. It feels good. I mean, it's responsive. Like, it doesn't feel, you know, sluggish or anything. Like, it's tight. It's a tight app.
Well, the onboarding was beautiful. And this is what I kind of liked about it. And PodFriend does a version of this too. It's like when you show up at a value block enabled podcast, it shows you all the controls. And then when you hit one of those controls, then it brings up the, you need Satoshis for this. There's a little short explanation, and then generate an invoice and fill up the wallet. And so you do need a username password to create an account. He's obviously hosting those keys, which I really appreciate because it's a bridge for now, I guess. It's a great way to bridge between now and whenever we get more capability, either in the browser or in an app, so that we don't have to deal with everyone being a custodial hosted wallet provider. And I understand the apprehension for a lot of developers who don't want to do that. But when someone just jumps in and says, "Nah, fuck it, we'll do it for now. We'll see what happens," that's really appreciated.
Yeah, the tip jar thing is great too. I think that's the first time I've seen that. Am I wrong?
It is incredibly smart, and it's such a nice variation of what. So Martin posted an idea a couple weeks ago, not even that long ago, and he showed a screen where you could change the split values. And I think pretty much the people on that thread were like, "Yeah, no, that's kind of weird if you're changing those splits." And then Steve with CurioCaster took it one step further, or in a different direction, really, lateral move, and said, "Well, what if you could just send an additional amount to anybody on that split, which includes the app?" And I have found, quite honestly, that I'm boosting CurioCaster as much as I'm boosting anybody else.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying this app right now. I'm just going to boost him. I boosted the index just for the hell of it. Yeah.
No, did you?
I love self boosting. It's don't tell anyone I do it.
No, I think that's fantastic. Like, that's a great use.
Very smart idea
of that, because you have the whole chain there available to you. It's like Martin's idea was that, but then this is just like a refinement of it, where you're like, oh yeah, this feels
perfect.
Right.
Iteration.
This is the right.
Perfect. Yeah. And Sir Abel Kirby, who is he's a great songwriter, composer, musician. He's done many of the top jingles and songs for No Agenda. So he's put together a band. They're recording an album. They've already contractually signed to Splits. So his whole value block will be for like the drummer and the bass player, etc.
No.
Oh way. Yeah. Oh yeah. And he's going to upload it to Podcasting 2.0. Each track will be a different episode.
Oh, nice.
But imagine this. You're listening and let's just say killer bass solo. Open the tip jar.
Boost.
Bam. Boost him. Boost him.
Boost.
A bass boost. Exactly. How cool is that going to be?
You know, I've been dying for the music stuff to come on. I love that.
Yeah, it's going to come. It's going to come. And seriously, all someone would have to do is just change the skin to Music Caster, or I don't care, podcast music, whatever you want to call it.
I'm like you. I'm listening to it as something, and like I'm either in Podfriend or Breeze or Podverse or anything, and I'm thinking, this is such a, like, I just start to feel really good about the whole experience of streaming sats and all that kind of stuff. And I want to thank the developer. I want to boost the app itself. And it may be, seriously,
it's a great idea.
I may want to give them like $10 at a pop. And you might have something. And here's the other thing. Every one of these apps needs a tip jar. Every single.
And this is a great way. Yeah, this is a great way to do it.
Yeah, because you don't know. Okay, Martin. You don't know who is out there that is really going to appreciate this and just drop you $500 out of nowhere.
You know who's really thoughtful about this stuff? Tina. And she's a pod friend fiend. And she listens to a number of value block enabled shows. But and No Agenda or this, she doesn't listen to this. She's like, just give me the cliff notes. Yeah. Hot namespace talk, baby. Oh, okay. She's very aware of Dame Jennifer's role.
Yeah, Ben.
But she's like, I boosted that. I thought that was such a good point. And so if she knew that she could boost Martin for the app, she'd do it. She'd do it in a heartbeat. So would I. So would anybody. And you know what? It's interaction. It's the podcaster saying, hey, you know, really great experience on Podfriend. Why don't you go, boost or go ahead and throw Podfriend some sats. And here's how you do it. Podcasters, you lazy, lazy, lazy douchebags. You've got to tell people to use some of these new apps, newpodcastapps.com. It will work. You will receive Satoshis. Everyone gets happy.
This is tough love from the Podfather.
Big time. It's Friday. This is what I like. And have you ever been in a board meeting like this? I've been in a lot of board meetings, Dave. I've never been in a board meeting where we can call everyone douchebags and just talk however we want to.
I've never been in one where there was the sound of people taking a dump and
boost.
Poop.
Yeah. Now, like Breeze, you know, they basically granted my wish. I put an issue on the on their repo, a month and a half ago, about deep linking into sharing an episode directly in the app.
Yep.
And then they rolled it out in test flight. I want to boost. I want to boost them.
Boost them, of course.
Yeah, I want to say thanks. I want to give them, give them 5,000 sats right there, or 10,000 or whatever.
Also, speaking of boosting, PodStation. PodStation browser extension getting a lot of extra features, including a boost button.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Guillermo, put the tip jar in.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it now. I will definitely boost you, and I know everybody else will too. Yeah, do that. That needs to be a standard.
I mean, and believe it or not, a lot of our money goes in. A lot of our private money goes into boosting everybody. I think we're just shooting money to everybody. I know it's at least a couple hundred bucks a month. I know I'm boosting. I'm over boosting.
I listen to Pod News every morning.
Me too.
As my religion.
I hit 500 sat boost the minute from Portland. Yep. Okay, Podnet. Don't need boom. Okay, 500 sats. Now I'm going to listen. Streaming 50 sats a minute. Yep. If you mention my name, triple boost.
Triple boost. Yeah, that's. I mean, I'm single-handedly responsible for most of Podland's revenue from yesterday, boosting my own self.
No, I boosted a lot, man. I boosted.
Oh, thank you. But I mean, that's just if you value enable your podcast, I agree with Sir Pete. Just value enable your podcast. It doesn't take away from your main source of revenue. And what I've seen a lot of people doing. I've seen a lot of podcasters putting a value block in their feed and then not mentioning it on the show, but it's just sitting there.
Yeah. That's the biggest mistake. That's why I keep saying newpodcastapps.com or choose one you like and tell people to try it. What I love doing with the web apps I'm going to start doing now is, oh, here's my show. Click on this. People get this whole fantastic app right in their browser. It's like that's a way to show people something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like him. I'm not sure I understand the trepidation there. But
adoption takes time, and it's just these things take time. But it's I see. You know, Dvorak's right. We have traction. We have traction. It's taken off. People know about it. I think there's something about our stats page that. I showed him podping.watch, and he shit himself. He's like, holy fuck, holy fuck. I've never seen this before. Now, he thinks, the way he sees it is, you guys have all the podcasts, 3.8 million. You have all the podcasts. You have all the stats. You know exactly what's new, where it's coming from. He said, that's newsworthy. It's all right. All right, man. I'll do whatever it takes. No problem.
That's a lot of that. You know, a lot of that's manual curation too. So what two things I do every day is, I look at the various podcast newsletters that come out.
Yeah.
Pod News, Podcast Business Journal. And I see the new podcast announcements and I check to make sure that the new shows that are being announced are in there in the index, if at all possible.
Oh, cool.
And so there's a lot of that because, people may not add them. So I'm having to, it may be 3 weeks before we find a new show. So I'm doing that by hand. So a lot of that's not just automated. There's some manual labor that has to go into that.
If you're listening to this podcast and you'd like to value enable your podcast, go to value4value.io, value4value.io, and follow the Yellow Brick Road. It should work for you. Hey, do we need to talk about Podchaser's API? What exactly does Podchaser do? Are they a business or are they, what is their?
Yeah, they're VC. They're VC backed. Okay. They're a VC backed thing. They started as a way to.
Is that their business model? VC backed? Is that what I'm hearing?
It's their mission statement. Uh-huh. Our mission statement is to be VC backed. No, it's, I've talked to those guys before. Ben Slinger and I forgot. Got the CEO's name, but I talked to him back when we did the podcast taxonomy stuff and, seemed like great guys, very distributed. Ben Slinger is in Australia. The other guy's name that's eluding me right now is in Hawaii. So they're very far apart, but their business started as like a way to centralize podcast reviews and stuff.
Right.
Do attribution for guest appearances and that kind of thing, and sort of keep a database of that. But they've really grown into some other. It looks like they're trying to do everything. So I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what their focus is anymore. But I know I know they're VC backed. I'm 99% sure of that.
And so their API, what is that? Does that offer something that we like or what we can collaborate on?
Well, I'd love to collaborate with various, like, you know, we got a sort of dialogue going on with Listen Notes and stuff now too.
Oh,
with
right.
Their developer yeah. there. Yeah. So any APIs and directories, I would always love to sort of work with and share info and all that stuff. I think that's really important. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure how willing they are to sort of, you know, get all, get involved. But I mean, they seem like they're on board with the namespace from what I can tell. They've contributed a little bit to that. But I don't know. I mean, like I was going to use their API to do reverse lookups to find an iTunes ID from a feed URL. But then John Spurlock posted their terms of service and it was like, their terms of service said basically no.
Okay.
The terms were basically if you're using this to build a competing directory or API, get lost. So
it said get lost in the fine print.
It was not that specific wording, but it was something like
pretty
that.
Much like that.
It was the legal equivalent of get lost. So,
excellent. All right.
Basically, said we're going to ban you. So I'm like, okay, well, that's a shame, but whatever.
So what's on deck for this for next week?
Just basically namespace stuff next week.
Namespace and then Miami. We're going to Miami.
Oh God, I can't.
That's next week, man. Shit, that's Thursday. Holy crap! Jeez. Yeah,
I got a pack to do. Yeah, I got crap to do. Okay, yeah, namespace Monday. Monday, Tuesday. Well, I'm actually meeting. I'm
just another namespace Monday.
It's the next big hit. I'm going to do a Jitsi meeting with Brian of London. We're going to try to get some stuff wrapped up with Podping so we don't keep spamming the Mastodon.
All right, cool.
Just stuff like that.
I'm going to work with Roy on some of this WebLN browser stuff.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm glad that you're like doing all the Lightning stuff because I feel overloaded.
Oh yeah, I mean it's and also you got to keep up with so much. It's just like what changed, and you have to learn how to speed listen. So it's not an easy task. You know? I am doing the best I can here. All right, my brother. How about weekend plans? You got anything planned?
Just trying to remove the wretched smell from our houses.
Yeah, everybody, make sure you see that picture. You need a Podcasting 2.0 compatible app for it. And we will see you next Friday right here for Podcasting 2.0's board meeting.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Boost.